Here I was ready to come in here, be very positive in favor of the Pittsburgh Steelers ahead of a Monday night game against the Dolphins, an opportunity for this team to move to 8-6 on the season, really position themselves for the AFC North crown because of what the other teams in the division have on their remaining schedules or how far behind they are in the division. The Browns are already out. The Bengals are 4-9, and the Ravens are 6-7 with a gauntlet of games down the stretch, which starts against Joe Burrow. More on him in a little bit on Sunday. That is not the case. That is the voice of Adam Schefter. You know him. He is the biggest insider in the National Football League from ESPN. And if you have not heard the news yet today, you are about to. TJ Watt has spent the last day or so in a local hospital due to an injury to his lung. And it sounds like, from what Schefter said in that clip and from some of the other stones we have been able to overturn here, that it is at least a semi-punctured lung that happened at the Steelers facility on Wednesday. So it sounds like the Steelers will be without their star edge rusher on Monday night. As we welcome you to a fan evening show, I am Donnie Football here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass. He will chime in on the conversation. He will take your calls as well and get you through, because I do want to get your reaction to this at 412-928-9370. There are so many ways that you can get in touch with the show at this point. The old school radio, maybe you're listening out of market on the Odyssey app. Perhaps you are watching on our live YouTube stream. Oh, and by the way, we are now live on X, so you can check us out on there as the crowd continues to grow and grow through social media. So 412-928-9370, that's the number to get involved. The guys were at the casino today. They are also very guest heavy on Thursday, so not many people out there, not many fans, not many listeners got to voice their thoughts, concerns, opinions with what is going on with TJ Watt. So that's why I want to open up this opportunity to all of you again at 412-928-9370. My initial thought, obviously, is the concern over the person that is TJ Watt. When we talk about these athletes and we talk about the coaches, owners, whatever, the conversations 99.9% of the time are strictly about what they do in their profession, and they are rarely ever about what is going on in their personal lives or our thoughts on them as people. If I think TJ Watt on the field is having a disappointing season, given the price tag next to his name and his reputation throughout the course of his career, that's one thing. But I would never wish any sort of injury like this upon any athlete. That's kind of the example I'm painting here, because the initial concern has to be with TJ Watt in the hopes that everything is okay. Alex Highsmith, I know, told reporters today that it was a scary situation, but TJ is getting better. So first and foremost, we want to see TJ Watt, the guy, okay after all of this. My thought when it comes to the on-the-field performance and that part of the conversation is that even though the numbers don't back it up, I still feel pretty good right now, a few days out, that the Steelers are going to win the game on Monday night. They are 86-46-2 with TJ Watt on the field. That's how good he has been. That's how impactful he has been over the course of his career. From 2017 as a rookie to now, where he has almost been in the league for a decade at this point, he is 40 games over 500. That's how good his play has been for the most part as one of the best edge rushers in football. Without T.J. Watt in the regular season, these numbers are from, without T.J. Watt, the Steelers are 1-10. And Joel, we mentioned the game earlier. I'm not sure if you were listening on your way in or whatever you had, you know, your life going on this afternoon before your duties called here at 93.7 The Fan. But we mentioned what that one win was for the Steelers without T.J. Watt in the lineup. Do you know what it was?
I'm not sure, but if I had to take a guess, somewhere in 2022 after he got hurt in the opener against Cincinnati?
It was against the Buccaneers a couple of years ago. Yes, 2022. And a game that is remembered a lot for what Mitch Trubisky did in the second half, what Chase Claypool did with Mitch Trubisky in the second half of that game. And they did it against Tom Brady in his final season. So they got the last laugh on a guy that made their lives miserable for the entire 2000s and 2010s. That's the one win. That is one of the most impressive wins also of Mike Tomlin's career, because the Steelers in that game, they were almost 10-point underdogs against the Buccaneers on that afternoon, and Pittsburgh found a way to win the game. So the numbers do not bode well without T.J. Watt in the lineup, and it sounds like things are leaning in that direction. It would be a lot to ask of even the toughest of NFL players that get a lung potentially punctured and have him play just a couple of days later. If this game was on a Saturday, since we are in the latter stages of the season, or on Sunday, I think it would already be ruled out. Maybe them getting that extra day, day and a half with a Monday night game gives them some sort of hope that Watt will be able to play. But the official statement that got put out by Steelers spokesman Bert Lawton this afternoon, right around 12:30, was that Watt was being held in a local hospital for further evaluation after his evaluation of his lung after experiencing discomfort at the practice facility on Wednesday. He did not practice today. Status for Monday's game is in question. Mike Tomlin talked to the media after practice today. We can take a quick listen in on what Coach Tomlin had to say about the injury following the news of T.J. Watt's, dismissal from practice due to the lung scare.
I'm a little bit, cautious about what I say because I'm not a medical expert. But to make a long story short, he was experiencing some discomfort when he was at the facility yesterday. And so we took him to the docs, and they're going through some procedures. He stayed overnight in the hospital. He has a lung situation that's being addressed. I think he has some testing and so forth ahead of him this afternoon, and that's all I know at this juncture. He and I communicated last night. He was comfortable, and that's all I have really at this point. His status for Monday night is really up in the air. I think what transpires this afternoon is going to provide more information for us. I just don't have a lot as I stand here today.
Can you tell us what prompted that discomfort?
I don't know. No, I do not.
There was a report that came out that said that it could have occurred during treatment. Is there anything you can tell us on that?
I don't know specifically when it occurred. I know he was in the cafeteria at one point, and that's kind of when I got wind of it.
Mike, to your knowledge, was he dealing with anything that was worthy of being on the injury report at any point?
Not to my knowledge at all, particularly in-game or after the game, nothing.
To make sure he is still in the hospital currently right now.
Yes.
So there you go. Mike Tomlin, he did not want to dive too deep into it, and I certainly don't blame the head coach for not wanting to do that. He's never one to speculate on injuries, but at the same time, a lot of the details still seem pretty fuzzy at this point. You heard in that clip from Schefter at the start of the show that it sounds like a partially punctured lung, but there isn't a ton of confirmation on that. It seems more like speculation than anything else, and it just feels like T.J. Watt won't play in the game on Monday. The fear after that, when it comes to on-field performance, is that he is able to get back to things after that game. If he has to miss Monday, well, hopefully he's good to go against the Lions on the 21st or the Browns on the 28th or that final week of the regular season against the Ravens. We don't want this to be something that has to land him on injured reserve, but it might. The only situation in recent NFL history that feels comparable to this, Joel, I assume you remember back in 2020, Tyrod Taylor had something similar happen to him where it was probably some sort of pain-killing injection before a game for when he was with the Chargers. And this is what led to Justin Herbert beginning his career. Justin Herbert was a rookie. It was early in the season for L.A., and something went wrong before the game with Tyrod Taylor. He had a lung punctured, and lo and behold, he's out. Justin Herbert comes in. It feels kind of like that situation, Joel. Like, it feels like that is something that you can maybe draw some parallels to, and you just hope at the same time it doesn't really reach that level. Something else that Ray Fittipaldo brought up with the guys last hour was the injury that Jerome Bettis was going through leading into a 2001 playoff game. Now, this was a different part of the body, but he had a pain-killing shot to the groin area, and it caught a nerve. Bettis was unable to play. Fortunately, Bettis ended up being fine after the fact, and the Steelers won the game, but Bettis was Bettis was absent for the matchup against the Ravens. Now, they won that game going away. It didn't really matter at the time. But this is something that, you know, causes some questions around, you know, what happened at the facility. Could there be some trouble there? But it feels like T.J. Watt will likely be out on Monday due to this health scare, the potential puncturing of the lung that took place earlier today. My thought on this is that the Steelers have done, and you have to pat them on the back for this, certainly. We criticize when we feel like it's fair, but I will certainly praise when I feel like it's fair. They have backfilled at that position very well. They drafted Jack Sawyer this past draft. Not that he's made a huge impact. He's been mostly a special teams guy that has gotten some snaps here and there with an impact play also here and there. You think back to that Colts game. Alex Highsmith, when he's healthy, has been a really good player. 9 games this year, 6.5 sacks. He's only a half sack off the lead that is set by T.J. Watt. Highsmith also has a forced fumble. He has 9 tackles for loss. We know he's a really good player against the run. Nick Herbig, 12 games. He's only started a few in the absence of Alex Highsmith. 6.5 sacks, has 3 forced fumbles, has an interception, has a fumble recovery for a touchdown, by the way, has 16 quarterback hits, has 12 tackles for loss, which in fact leads Pittsburgh in that category. So they really aren't left with the same situation that they've had in the other instances of T.J. Watt not being on the field for them, which is why I feel a little bit better about this particular situation and this spot of their season. This isn't the same Steelers defense that had T.J. Watt and maybe a young Alex Highsmith or maybe Bud Dupree before he was done playing here, and then their backup plan, if one of those guys got hurt, was Cassius Marsh or Anthony Ciccolo or Derek Tuska, you know, guys who aren't even in the league anymore, guys that some people out there forgot existed, and I wouldn't blame you for a second if you did. Because the last notable thing Cassius Marsh did in Pittsburgh was against the Steelers on a Monday night football game against the Bears. He sacked Big Ben. He had some overzealous celebration. He got flagged, and he was in part why the Bears lost that football game. But basically, they had nobodies behind them. Like, Joel, if I asked you right now, in that Buffalo game, that playoff game that TJ Watt had to miss, which technically they are 1-11 without TJ Watt if you count that Buffalo playoff game. In that game, Alex Highsmith was one of the starting edge rushers. Watt was out. Do you remember who the other guy was?
Oh, gosh. Are they still in the league?
No. Actually, he went somewhere else. Then he came back here for training camp, worked out for about a week, and decided, now, you know what, I'm going to retire. If that gives you any sort of clue.
Well, the first name that came to mind was Melvin Ingram, but I don't think it's him because he left midseason.
Yeah, I brought his name up too. He was gone a little bit before that because he cried and complained his way out of town when Highsmith was on the rise. So Highsmith is already a pretty known commodity at this point. And then this guy is starting on the other side in favor of TJ Watt.
Who was this player's, the team after Pittsburgh and before he came back? Who was the team like in between?
Okay, I'm gonna look up his bio here on the fly just to make sure that I have it for you. So he left here in free agency. It was a little bit odd for him at the end. He signed to a practice squad, I believe, so it didn't count as his actual team, but I'll say this. He played for the Cardinals for the brunt of his career beforehand. He had a very quick stint with the Giants.
Oh, Marcus Golden.
Yes. Good job, Joel. It was Marcus Golden, who did play in 16 games with Pittsburgh in 2023. He had 4 sacks that season. It's not like the guy did nothing on the stat sheet, but we now know, knowing what we know, if you go back, he was at the end of his days. He was down to his final days in an NFL uniform. It was Marcus Golden who started that game against the Bills. And I don't know, maybe if TJ Watt plays in that game, the playoff streak that we talk about is non-existent. Because even though they found themselves in a 3-score hole, they were able to claw back and actually have some life and only trailed by a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Maybe a Watt impact play changes matters at that point. But the point here is that I feel like they get a team on Monday night that doesn't have things going their way either, in the sense of how things will be set up in this game. Not that the Dolphins haven't played well in the last month or so, because they've in fact been one of the best teams in football, and they have rallied around Mike McDaniel when I never thought they would. But Tua Tagovailoa, do you know what his numbers are, what his stats are, what his record is, Joel, when it is 40 degrees or colder at kickoff of a game?
I would think it's a pretty low number, similar to the Steelers without TJ Watt. Do you know how many games he's played?
5.
Oh, gosh. 1-4.
0-5.
0-5.
0-5. At least the stat that I saw earlier. Tua Tagovailoa is winless in games where it is 40 degrees or colder at kickoff. And I think it was right around 40. It was like low 40s in New York last Sunday, because that was one of the first thoughts I had since that team played so well. Monday night, it's going to be in the teens. I think the low is like 15 degrees. So that is not working in the favor of the Dolphins. We know that's a bit of their reputation that they come in to town with, where, you know, they have not been a team that, once the weather truly gets cold, once we get late in the season, they shiver up. They're kind of fitting to where they come from. They're like birds. They want to go south when it starts getting cold. They want to be in Miami when it starts getting cold. And it is going to be very cold on Monday night. Another number that goes in the Steelers' direction is just how good they are on Monday Night Football, specifically at home. You can fact check this if you want, Joel. I believe Mike Tomlin's record on Monday night home games in his career is like 21-3. It's like a staggeringly good number. And it might even be better than that.
20-3.
20-3.
Can we name the 3 losses?
So it would be 3 home losses on Monday Night Football. Is that correct, or does it say that's the home record?
Oh,
or the overall?
I'm sorry. The overall is 20-3. The home record has to be, like, I'm sure, insanely good, because there was the one Cincinnati game on a Monday night they lost.
Yeah, and
that was 2014.
Yeah, I know there was another one against the 49ers that they lost.
Is that the game at Candlestick that had the big, like, power outage before they?
Yes. Yeah, that's the game. Yeah, they had a game in Cincinnati, like you mentioned. And now I'm going to be stuck questioning what that third one is. But he has a very good track record of Monday night games at home, is the point here. And this actually dates back a while. It even goes pre-Tomlin. The Steelers in the last quarter century have a very good track record at home. So that's something else to note going into this game Monday night. But I want to hear from you out there at 412-928-9370. Your reaction to this TJ Watt health scare, a potentially punctured lung for the Steelers star edge rusher. It sounds like as of right now, he will miss the game on Monday night. Does that have you feeling any differently about that matchup with the Miami Dolphins? 412-928-9370. If he has to miss, say, the last four games, how does that have you feeling about this team going down the stretch? 412-928-9370. We'll also get to something that a particular star quarterback made waves in the NFL. He said something yesterday that really caught my ears and caught my eyes. We'll get to perhaps some Steelers three-quarter season awards, too, before we are done. We also take a trip to the other side. Joe Rose, former Dolphins tight end, now radio host in Miami, he will join the program in 30 minutes. But you can join us at 412-928-9370 to give your thoughts on this TJ Watt situation. If it has you feeling any different about the Steelers going forward, you can hit us up at that same number too on the fan text line. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I also mentioned we are live on X, Twitter. You can follow us there at 93.7 The Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Your calls are next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. 6:41. Time to check out 9 Yards Golf Lounge, now open at the Block Northway in Ross Township. Donnie Football with you tonight on 93.7 The Fan. Just until 7:30, we have Thursday Night Football for you, which is an NFC South matchup. This would have been a very fitting night for Charlie Borges to be the man behind the glass. His Tampa Bay Bucks, after losing to the 2-win Saints on Sunday, they host the Falcons with a kickoff in just about 90 minutes, but the NFL on Westwood One takes over at 7:30. But I got something just as good as Charlie Borges. I have Joel Nelson with me behind the glass, and we are inviting you to join us at 412-928-9370. You can also join myself and Joe Starkey tomorrow for a Football Friday live at the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Please, if you are going to stop by and say hello, bring non-perishable items to be donated to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and say hi to us. If you can't make it, you can still support the Pittsburgh Food Bank by going to pittsburghfoodbank.org/need or text need to 50155. More details at 937thefan.com. Joel, before I get to some callers here, have you been to the Baseball Card Castle before? Have you gone to see old General Patton at any point? You have?
Yeah, cool spot. Yeah,
so I've never been.
Okay, yeah, you'll enjoy it. It's going to be fun. That's if you're not like a sports card enthusiast or whatever, just to go inside for the vibes, it's really chill. So many different cards, so many different athletes, sports, you name it. It's awesome. And Jeff's going to thoroughly enjoy having you guys there.
So, I mean, I also have heard it's a lot more than just cards. Like, he just has an insane amount of sports memorabilia, you know, whether it's signed photos, signed, I don't know, paintings, just like collectible items.
Yes, plenty, like, plenty of that too.
Yeah, Joe made it sound like it would be
absolutely in crinkle and Folsy.
it does sound like that. I'm really pumped for it. So we will be out there tomorrow from 10 until 2. The whole gang will be out there. Austin will be with us as well. He will be running the remote equipment out there. So that is exciting for him. And that will be a very fun few hours for us. All right, let's take your calls on the Steelers here. 412-928-9370. The situation with TJ Watt, how does that have you feeling about this team going into Monday night? How does it have you feeling about this team moving forward this season? Four games left. I mean, there is a chance, if it is similar to what happened to Tyrod Taylor, there is a chance that he misses the rest of the season. I'm not saying that. I'm just putting it out there that there is a chance that that happens. Mark in Beaver will kick us off. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, guys? My thoughts on TJ, you know, a lot of teams have been playing knowing that, you know, he makes a big factor in the game, so they've been double-teaming him, chip-blocking him, and stuff like that. So, actually, with him being out, you know, I hope that he recovers and does, you know, gets back to us as soon as he can. But at the same time, I actually think that we're going to be better off without him because, you know, you got Highsmith that's been, you know, coming alive as of lately. And then Herbig has been phenomenal all season long. And they're going to have to, you know, come up with a game plan to stop both of those guys instead of just chipping TJ Watt all the time. So I actually think it's going to help us for this game. I don't know about, you know, season long for the rest of the season, the remaining four games. But I actually think we're going to come alive a little bit more on defense with TJ being out.
I do wonder, and I appreciate the call, Mark. I don't know if I would say that they will be noticeably better. I do wonder, though, if at least Monday there's a little bit of a jolt of, you know, hey, let's rally around TJ. He can't play in this game. It's a primetime spot. They're going to wear the Color Rush uniforms. They painted the end zones gold, something we wait for every single December. It's going to feel like a big deal. And the Steelers have an opportunity to work their way even closer to that single elimination tournament they love talking about in January. A win on Monday won't clinch anything, but let's just say it is coming off a Sunday where we see the Ravens lose to the Bengals, and now it is a Ravens team that seems very, very weak and beaten down. That team would be 6-8. The Steelers would be 8-6. And at worst, the worst case scenario, if that happens, is that the Steelers and Ravens would meet for the AFC North crown in Week 18. I mean, that sounds pretty enticing to me. If we get the combination of a Ravens loss on Sunday and a Steelers win on Monday night, the Steelers, at worst, would have a chance to basically have the AFC North Championship play out at home in Week 18. I mean, I can think of worse situations, but we'll see how everybody else is feeling. 412-928-9370. Matt is in North Carolina. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, man, what's up? I had a couple people watching the game over my house. I live in North Carolina, and we're watching the game, and half of the guys who were Steeler fans were rooting for them to lose. That's how bad it was, you know, just to get another pick or whatever. We were one play away from, you know, the refs calling that, not calling that touchdown, or one play away or a couple plays away from losing to the Ravens. We're calling for Tomlin's head. I don't know how any of us are fired up about this.
I mean, they have a golden opportunity to win the AFC North. I understand where some of your buddies were coming from, Matt. I mean, we had the discussion on the station all last week. Would it be smarter if the Steelers just started to lose games? You know, those are the types of conversations you have when working in sports radio. But maybe I get too caught up as a fan at times too, because when that ball gets kicked off, all of my thoughts of, man, I want them to lose this game so badly for whatever reason. The moment that ball gets kicked off, I don't want the Steelers to lose a game. I want them to win every time the ball gets kicked off. So I understood where a lot of people were coming from last week going into the game Sunday, but we also knew how much importance that game carried when it came to playoff implications. They kept showing the graphics, and I think almost every single network and publication had like different numbers for them. It was like, oh, if the Steelers win, they have a 72% chance to make the playoffs and just a 15% chance if they lose. Or if the Steelers win, they have a 68% chance of making the playoffs and a 16% chance if they lose. Regardless of what the actual numbers were, we knew that a win meant a very, very high probability that the Steelers would make the playoffs, and a loss meant a very, very low probability that they would make the playoffs. And after watching the Ravens firsthand, seeing them against the Steelers in action, not just watching them against another team, whether it be the Bengals or them getting blown out by the Texans earlier in the season without Lamar Jackson, or, you know, some of the games where they have looked pretty ugly, we saw up close and personal that the Ravens really do have a lot of warts. And they went on that nice little winning streak, like I thought would happen. They went on that winning streak, but it looked like a team that even with Lamar Jackson, something wasn't right, that they were leaking a little bit of oil. And now the Steelers have another crack at an AFC North crown. And really, this is the best chance they've had, I guess you could say, since last year when they blew an opportunity like this. But it feels different. Once the Steelers lost that first game in December, it didn't carry a good vibe to it. And the Ravens were shooting up. Their trajectory was just going up. That's just not the case right now. The Ravens don't feel right. They don't look right. So even if it's by way of default, being the best team in a bad division, hey, no other team in the NFL would apologize for that. So I don't think they need to either. 412-928-9370 if you want to get involved. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Coming up, we take a look at the other side of the coin. We will talk to a former Dolphins tight end, a man that caught passes from the legendary Dan Marino and is now a morning show host in Miami. That is Joe Rose. He will join the show in just under 10 minutes time. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Temps in the mid-30s on Friday and Saturday. They dip down into the 20s on Sunday. Coming up, Joe Rose. He joins us from Miami right here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. About 20 more minutes with us, and then we kick it off to Thursday night football coverage on 93.7 The Fan, a 7:30 pregame start courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. Buccaneers hosting the Falcons tonight, 8:15 kickoff in the NFC South matchup. Right now, we will take a look at the other side of the matchup on Monday night that will be played in Pittsburgh, Steelers and Dolphins. Also an 8:15 kickoff. We will have Fan Game Day pregame coverage for you live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook starting at 5 up until kick of that game. And to take a look at the other side, we will chat with a former Miami Dolphins tight end, currently a morning show host for 104.3 in Miami. Joe Rose is with us here on 93.7 The Fan, a guy who used to catch touchdown passes from Dan Marino. Joe, some good Dan Marino stories. I feel like you have plenty in the arsenal.
I told him. I said, every time I go into Pittsburgh, man, they want to hear stories about you. I said, I don't know. I do know this. The guy is absolutely weatherproof. I'd love to be able to take this guy on the road all of December and January for road games because you never have to change your game plan the way he throws it, you know. So that was always nice. And growing up there in the Oakland Hills and going to school at Pitt, he loves that air. And I know he goes back, matter of fact. I believe he's already up there with his mother right now. If I'm giving a little scouting report, he's already up there.
Well, Joe, you bring up a good point there, and I think it's good to work into the current Dolphins conversation because you mentioned how Dan was so good no matter what the weather was. That can't be said about this current Dolphins team, and I think specifically Tua Tagovailoa. I saw a stat earlier today, Joe, that when the temp is 40 degrees or colder, he is 0-5 in his career. I mean, that's got to be a little bit concerning for you guys. I know Miami, it's always nice and hot, but eventually you're going to have to play in some cold weather games, and usually that means the games are pretty important.
Yeah, no, listen, we've dealt with that in recent years where we've had some good records. And then, as you said, from Thanksgiving on, all of a sudden you hit the Northeast, you go to Green Bay on a Thanksgiving game, and you go some different places, and you play good teams, and things change a little bit with this team. So it's funny, in this four-game winning streak, Tua hasn't been asked to do as much. They got a running game now. The last four games are averaging 192 yards a game. And their defense has gotten a lot better. All the young rookies are growing up. It was a slow development. First 6 or 7 games was rough. And all of a sudden, they played better. Again, a lot more takeaways because the defensive line's playing better, and they're keeping people out of the end zone. And so that's been the big thing the last 4 weeks. But as you said, this is a different animal for the Dolphins. Whatever the temperature is, they know it's going to be cold. I don't know whether it's 16 degrees or 20 degrees, on a Monday night coming up here, but they know that, and I think they're going to depend on those stats I just hit to physically, defensively get after the Steelers, and second of all, be able to run the football, and Tua's going to have to throw some. He's going to have to throw some. You get the running game going, it's a waste not to be able to, you know, throw some play action, and they'll do some of that. They've got some tight ends they're throwing to. I'd like to see him get the ball to Waddle more on the outside. But overall, they have played a little better. And even in the tight ball games, they're finding ways to win. So it's completely different after that 1-6. And now having a chance to come up to Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football, they know the narrative of all the things you said, cold weather, even our fan base, it's going to be cold, it's Pittsburgh, it's going to be loud, they're a physical team. And at some point, you don't want to hear it. You remember hearing it. And they talk about this, and the coaching staff, you got to do something about it. You got to win. And this isn't their last game. I mean, they got to go up and play New England at the end of the season. So, but this would be, this would get them back to 500. Still a long shot. You still got to, you know, chase a lot of teams down. But just to get back to this, and, you know, they're playing great as a team. The kicker, the punter have had great seasons. So there's a lot of good things. But you're right, the Tua thing, he has not had, overall, has not had a good season.
Is there a better way to acclimate to cold weather? I mean, I guess they could have come up here early and spent the entire week here, but that's not really doable in every situation. Like, is there a way that you think they could try to get ready for bad weather any better than what they already do?
It's a great question because I get hit on with all the time. We're going to cold weather. You know, we're in trouble. And I would just say, first of all, and the biggest thing, like I grew up in California and played in the Pac-8 and then the Pac-10 and then, you know, got drafted by Miami. So I wasn't exactly around anything close to the Northeast weather in Buffalo and New England and New York, and they're throwing a little Pittsburgh and a little Green Bay. And those are and Kansas City's two of the coldest games we've ever played in. As an announcer as well as going up there to play, it's just, you know, it can be brutal. You just got to block it out, man. You can't change. You got to go warm up like you usually do. You got to block it out for three and a half hours. Stay zoned in on what you're supposed to do. And if you have a good team, you know, I think some of this has been, you know, some people have called us soft. And I think we've taken some teams up late in the season, just haven't been very good football teams to start with. But you're right. All these things you're talking about, as they call them, the narratives, they're out there and they're not going to change until you win. And they got to find. They're looking at Pittsburgh and they've got some holes in their team. And so are you going to be able to do something about it? They need this game. You need this game. And see, you know, it's Monday Night Football, man. Everybody's watching. There's no dividing time on Red Zone between eight games. This is Monday night. Everybody in the playoffs wants to see how everybody else looks and is curious to see how the week wraps up with the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Talking to Joe Rose, a former Miami Dolphins tight end, now the color commentator on the Dolphins radio network, also a morning show host at 104.3 in Miami. Joe, you brought up the four-game winning streak that has been split up by a bye week, but it all started with a 30-13 win over the Buffalo Bills that first Sunday in November. And what was it in that game? Did you notice something in that game that felt like a spark that would really get this team going? Because they were 2-7 after October, and all hope looked lost.
They got sloppy with the ball, turned it over. Josh Allen turned it over. Some of their guys on the team turned it over. The running back had a big turnover. And we were able to run the ball for, I think it was 200 yards or close to it, or a little more than 200 yards in that game. And Devon Achane, I just thought that day he really got it going. And he has not stopped. He's just he only played a quarter and a half in the last game and had 92 yards against the Jets. And he got a little nicked up, so they took him out. And, you know, they put the second and third running backs in. And you run for, again, for a lot of yards. So I just think I thought those are two things that have really changed. Is we get a lot more takeaways. They've got 10 takeaways the last four games. And it was slow process, man. There weren't very many. It was dry through the first half of the season. And so they picked that up. The running game's been picked up. They cleaned it up. They stayed together, and they've been healthy. They haven't lost, knock on wood here. They got their right tackle back off IR, and Austin Jackson, and they're a pretty healthy team. And they're going to be pretty healthy for this game again. So, hey, they got a lot of confidence, man, and they know what's out there. And, you know, I can't say it enough, but that cold weather thing, Mike McDaniel's dealt with that since he's been here, because they've lost a lot of games that really needed late in the year, and it knocked us out. We've had some good teams. We've gone to Tennessee. They killed us in a game where we're playing, I think, for best record in the AFC. We go back a couple years ago to Baltimore playing for the best record, and the next thing you know, we lose the next three games and lose a wild card game instead of winning the AFC East. And so they understand the importance of it for the guys that have been on this team for a few years.
Yeah, Joe, Devon Achane gets a lot of credit when, you know, that's reasonable. The guy has rushed for over 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns this year. But tell me about the Dolphins' offensive line. I've seen some cut-ups of Aaron Brewer on Twitter, and he looks like one of the best centers in football.
Brew has just played his ass off, man. Great pickup. Unbelievable, kind of a small center. I don't know, they had him, some guys had him 285, 290, 295. In this run blocking scheme that Mike McDaniel calls for, a lot of snap and get out and run, he has just had some great blocks. Even now, just driving guys off the ball, he's just playing unbelievable. He really is. He has really come in to his own, really, since he's been here, but now people are starting to talk about him a lot more. But, yeah, he is He has been really good. And when they like to get out in those screens, there he is, man. He's pulling. He's getting out there for a key block. And he's just he's a great leader of this whole group. He's got some young guys he's playing with. And that group, they've really done a nice job, man. You know, our offensive lines have been knocked. You guys are probably dealing with that a little bit these days too. And this group has played together, and they've gotten better and better. Savia Nya, the rookie, is starting to play better last couple games, and it's been a while. He was rough. It was rough first half of the season for him. And then Patrick Paul at left tackle, durable, and has been really solid. So they got a lot of good things going. Like I said, Austin Jackson's now back again after missing most of the season. So this group's got some confidence. The blocking schemes, they've really played well. We run the ball. And it's no secret they're gonna pitch the ball and try to run out wide and wide zone blocking, and it's important. They're gonna have the receivers that can block are gonna be out there and try to block guys off the field, tight ends, fullback Alec Ingold, but that's been the key. And then you put a guy that runs at 10-100 meters, that's one of the fastest guys in football, in Devon Achane. And you got something special, because you make one mistake or you miss a tackle, and he's off to the races.
Joe, I think a big question that people have in Pittsburgh is, how has the Minka Fitzpatrick return to Miami been? Because that was the big blockbuster trade over the summer. But I want to get a sense of what the returns have been on Minka's second stint in Miami.
You know, it's a great question. I think everybody wanted to know. Hey, Minka's really, really picked it up too. You know, it's funny. Well, it's not funny. A lot of guys that start this season, it just wasn't there on either side of the ball. I mean, you're 1-6, you got problems, right? And we were blown out in a couple of those games. Matter of fact, the Cleveland Browns blew us out. That game was over in the third quarter, and you're like, what the hell's going on, man? This is bad. But Minka had some huge, huge plays. He had a big pick two. It's still weird to call it a pick two, interception on a 2-point conversion. He ran it back. So he didn't get credit for that, but he's had some big forced fumbles, had a great tackle at the goal line to keep a guy out. So he's really picked it up. Didn't want to talk about the whole Pittsburgh thing. He's taken the high road on that. And, you know, I think we're all aware of it. Jalen Ramsey was a big part of things here. Jonnu Smith hasn't been as productive as he was for us. He was a key weapon for the Dolphins last year, and he's in a three tight end rotation right now, where all the tight ends are important up there. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of pride by those guys. I know Jalen wasn't overly happy with a lot of things, and there are a lot of things said, like it always is when all of a sudden Mike says, or Chris Greer comes out, our former general manager, and says, "Hey, we mutually agreed to move on," and you know, and some things have been said, and you know, and so. Yeah, I know this is a big game for Jalen. I know this is a big game for Jonnu. Would love to have a big game. And I know Minka Fitzpatrick would love nothing more than beat this Steelers team and get this team back to 7-7.
Something I didn't think I would be doing this year, Joe, is giving Mike McDaniel a whole lot of credit. You know, if you asked me going into the season, I thought he was going to be the first coach that got fired. Out of the gate, it looked like that had potential. The team started 0-3, then they started 1-6. But I got to say, what has he done to get some respect back in that locker room and turn this tide?
Man, that is. Hey, by the way, you're not alone. I think a lot of us thought, oh boy, from the year before, some things that happened that came out, guys late and all that stuff, And like people are going, hey, well, what's going on over there? What are they doing every day? And what's going on? And those guys, man, I hate to say play hard. I get tired. Everybody says their guys are playing hard. I do. And so now I find myself, I got guys busting my chops because I was saying it there. But these guys have not quit, and they are playing hard. They're getting coached up. They're getting better. We play a lot of young guys. And I just think once I thought the thing that really turned it around, we went to Atlanta, we're supposed to get blown out. And Atlanta was playing well. They just beat the Buffalo Bills. And we went up there and we pounded them for four quarters. And it was like a little bit like, wow, we can do this, not just for a quarter in a game or a quarter and a half. We can do it for the whole game. Then they came home, and then the trouble started because Lamar comes back. He kills us. We get hammered by them. We got sloppy, turned the ball over, all the things that kill you in a game. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you play the Buffalo Bills, and they put together complete game again, played really well on both sides of the football. And that just kind of got everybody fueled. I think the talks, the owner, and I think it drives people, it drives a lot of fans nuts. Owner really wanted this thing with Mike to work out, saw potential as a play caller, was hoping to see more from the whole team, and he started to see it. So if this continues, yeah, Mike's going to be back as a head coach on this football team if it continues over the next four games. But it is amazing. Because this doesn't always happen, as you know, man. All of a sudden, you know, you're 1-6, and you make a change with the general manager, and people are going, oh, my God, this thing's about ready to blow up. What's going to happen? And these guys have enough leadership on this team, Brew being one of the guys, Brewer, and a whole bunch of other guys, Zach Sealer. I can go through the list of guys, and they're like, hell no, this isn't going to happen. We're going to play hard while we're here. And it's just worked out, man. And I looked at the schedule and I go, hey, man, there's some games out there you guys can win, you know, if you play well enough. And they won two tight ball games, weren't easy. Hey, the Saints had a chance to tie it up at the end of the game on a 2-point conversion. And we go over and play Washington. They had a chance to win on a long field goal. So, we've had some breaks to go with it as well.
Joe Rose, former Dolphins tight end, current color commentator for the Dolphins morning show host down in Miami. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hey, man, I've enjoyed it, Donnie. Thank you, buddy. You take care of yourself. I'll see you when we get up there.
There we go. The great Joe Rose from Miami.